whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
And we're still here. Right back at it on The Fan in New York, inside 10 p.m. Keith McPherson on The Fan. I got a special guest joining us for the next segment or two or three. We'll see in this hour. You know, I opened up talking about Pete Alonso as there were rumors about the Mets checking on Tanner Scott, Alex Verdugo, and even Luis Arraez this week. And my guest joining us is a Mets fan, so we'll probably start there. We got eyes on the college football playoff, and he's got some college football ties, a very interesting tie to the Alamo Bowl that just passed, and I think that's going to tie in for the Giants fans that are potentially interested in drafting Travis Hunter or Shedeur Sanders. And yeah, he goes by the name Eitan the Goalie. Are you a Rangers fan?
I'm a big Rangers fan. Actually, my make-a-wish was to go to meet the Rangers years ago when they were very, very bad.
I probably should have reconsidered having you in here tonight because I'm kind of tight about the way that that game went down. At least the Devils got a point, but I was on air saying that I was hoping that the Devils take them to overtime and beat them in overtime, and there's heartbreak in the Garden for the Rangers fan. It's the opposite. It's heartbreak for the Devils fan, but not too much heartbreak. I mean,
this has been a very bad season for the Rangers. This is the first season that has felt unprofessional in a very, very, very long time. The scandals off the ice. It's like the Rangers, you know, I'm a Met fan. I'm a Jet fan. These are organizations that have had historically very shady off the field kind of stuff. The Rangers were always
sketchy.
Buttoned up. You know, so the Rangers, they're always buttoned up. You know, it was never anything bad that was happening in the front office or anything, but, like, the past year has not only been bad on the ice, but, like, everything you're hearing in the locker room is, you know, not great. Especially with the scandals, with the, you know, the travel and everything.
It's still early enough in the hockey season. Maybe this is the win for the Rangers that can turn the tide a bit. It's just tough when you had all of the rumors swirling around the team and the trades, and then the trades happen with Trouba and Kako, and then you put Shesterkin on the Kreider on the IR, shut Shesterkin down. Shesterkin comes back tonight, they get a win. So Rangers fans can call in as well if you want to talk about the game. If you were at the game and you're in the car heading home now, I mean, it's rare that you get a win like that in these last couple weeks, and it's I'm sure good for the Rangers fans to get one against the Devils. The Devils been riding high, kind of giving it to the Rangers. You know, 5-1, 5-0 in the last two meetings. But, man, I want to ask you a question about Pete Alonso, as I've taken probably 10 to 15 calls on Pete Alonso tonight. I feel like as time goes on and Pete Alonso is not signed with the Mets and the last offer that we heard was 3 years and $90 million for him, I know that's too low for him years and money-wise, but as time goes on, I feel like the Mets don't have to make a move, and I think both sides are using the media. The Mets talking about all these different players that they're considering signing or trading for. And then Scott Boras floating out there that, like, you know, Pete doesn't want anything less than 6 years. And they're looking for $214 million like the Cecil Fielder deal. I feel like it's going to get to a point where Pete Alonso feels some type of way, where his emotions, his feelings are going to come in. He's going to feel slighted, where he might want to leave. But I think the Mets can do right by him, maybe give him another year, get him over $100 million and say, hey, we do want you back. We do need you back batting behind Juan Soto. But as a Mets fan, like, what do you feel at this point? Because I feel like Mets fans are split. There are some Mets fans that do have the sentimental value and spot for Pete. There are other Mets fans that are like, good riddance. We've got some young guys. We got Juan Soto now. We don't need you, and we don't need to pay you. You know, you're getting older. You're on the decline. You weren't clutch last year. How do you feel as a Mets fan with Pete Alonso? You watched his whole career.
Yeah, I mean, so I think the big thing about Pete Alonso is that he's not endeared into the Mets fan base yet the way that, like, David Wright was. You know, when I think about Pete Alonso, I don't have that same, like, yearning, that same, like, memorable, the same connection to him that other Mets have had. I think that no one wants to pay him. You know, he's gone out there. Scott Boras has gone out there. There's no team that is willing to give him the years that he wants at the number that he wants. I do think, though, the Mets, Steve Cohen's got money. He can pay him. I think that the Mets do have to kind of meet him in the middle just to show some sort of thank you, you know, to him. As much as, you know, last year he was not clutch at all, but he did have one of the biggest Met home runs in recent history. And I think that that should be reflected in, you know, the years that are offered to him. He's not going to get six. That's crazy. I think three is low. I think, like, split the difference, go to four, and then give him the money, you know, that he wants. You know, Steve Cohen's got the money. That's the thing here. You know, I think that also, if he goes anywhere else in the league, he will not be welcomed back to Citi Field in the same way if he finishes his career here. I don't think anyone's going to hate him. I think that, you know, he could go some, you know, if he goes to the Phillies, that's like one thing, you know, but if he goes to just another team, if he ends up, you know, in Tampa, or if he ends up on the Rockies or whatever, it doesn't really, you know, affect me. But, you know, he's going to come back at some point. And it's just going to be like, you know, whatever. But after he retires, if he retires with the Mets, it's going to be a big deal. You know, he's going to be endeared. He's going to be a legend. You know, at some point also, if I'm not mistaken, isn't he within the next, like, 2 years going to break the home run record for the Mets?
That's what we're, like, thinking, right? Like, he's going to be an all-time Met. You want to see that happen.
So it's like, why give that up? He knows that he's not as valuable outside of the Mets. It's ego on his side. And I think that ultimately, this is just shenanigans. I think they are going to get the deal done. I think that he's going to get more money, but, you know, he's not going to get the years that he wants. But I think that would be absolutely so stupid of him to go anywhere else. He has a chance to become one of the Met greats. Really, you know, if his career continues the way it's going to continue, if he breaks the home run record, if he gets us, you know, a World Series, if, you know, if he gets us a bunch of playoff appearances, at least he's going to be remembered by the Met fans in a certain way. That if he leaves, and also, what is he going to do? Go somewhere for 2 years? Is he going to get, you know, just like an in between, like a bridge contract on some secondary team for a year to what? Get $100 million extra dollars? That you know, he can make back $100 million just based in free food at Citi Field games if he just stays here. He's not going to get the same value elsewhere. He's not going to be remembered by the fans elsewhere. He's also going to not be as good on other, you know, teams. What if he goes down and he doesn't break 30 home runs, you know, with Tampa? What if he goes down and he just is like a little bit of a dud there because he is coming off of a very underwhelming season? So there's a lot more to risk for him.
Yeah, speaking of endorsements and what he'll make being in New York outside of the contract, I was just talking about that. I know he's in, you know, a Citi commercial, and now with Juan Soto being the biggest name with the highest contract, like all the attention Juan Soto is going to bring in, some of that attention will go to Pete too.
Yeah.
And being in New York, it's the number one market. There's a ton of advertisers, and his own brand can benefit from staying with this Mets team now that, you know, this is a Mets team expected to win. And, you know, speaking of endorsements and deals and whatnot, you got this nice Manischewitz box
in here. Yeah, that's right.
I got to keep one and I got to leave one for the guys in here.
I brought four. I got four for the WFAN Mishbacha.
We're good, man. So, you know, as we segue into talking about college football, please fill our audience in on how this endorsement came together for Jake Retzlaff, the quarterback from BYU, and your involvement with Manischewitz.
Yeah, that's right. So this year, one of the biggest stories in, you know, professional sports has been Jake Retzlaff. He is the first Jewish quarterback ever at Brigham Young University. There are three Jews in all of Brigham Young University, and one of them, there are more Jews in Al-Qaeda than there are at Brigham Young University. There are no Jews there. He is the one of the biggest faces on the entire camp, you know, on the entire campus. This year, you know, they went 10-2. The BYJew, you know, hashtag trends every, you know, weekend there. He's been one of the biggest stories, and it's been an incredible kind of like purely joyful story. You know, the past year for the Jewish community hasn't been exactly great. And when we are at a point now where just like so many of the stories are very sad, this Jake Retzlaff story is like just so purely positive. And the team getting, you know, him leading them to 10-2, them getting to the Alamo Bowl, them, you know, playing against Colorado, which we'll talk about, I'm sure, has just been an incredible story. So I, you know, I'd done some video. I have a little bit of a following doing Jewish content online, you know, and I'd done a video about Manischewitz on the rebrand. I ended up selling Manischewitz a web show, and then I went to them. I was like, we should give him an NIL deal. We should give Jake Retzlaff, the Jewish quarterback, an NIL deal. This is what NIL is made for. And they went for it, and we negotiated with his agent. And we released an announcement video. That video, Keith, you can agree with me on this.
It was big. Well done. It's a professional commercial.
That's right.
It's wild for me. I played quarterback in college. I was happy to get a meal plan and you know, just be invited anywhere where I could get any, you know, free merch or something. These kids now have products, they have million-dollar deals.
Yeah.
And you know, the biggest thing with BYU that just happened was this Alamo Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And the tie-in here with the Giants, as we'll get back to the phones at 888-808-1019. I was talking about you being out there. I was talking about BYU versus Colorado.
Yeah.
You got to go to the game since you're connected with Manischewitz and the BYU quarterback. And you got to watch BYU smack Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter.
Oh, totally. Let me just say that that entire week, first of all, before I say anything, let me just put this out there. Travis Hunter is incredible. He is absolutely untouchable. When he got the ball, anytime he would get the ball, he was completely, no one could even get close to him. Also, his star power is massive. You know, at the Alamo Bowl, I'll just say this, a little bit of a difference in the fan bases between BYU and Colorado. I was in a section that had a bunch of babies because we were in the BYU section. There were a bunch of boosters there. The Colorado fans, they came there to cheer. The stadium was about 70,000. Most of them were Colorado fans. When Travis Hunter scored that touchdown, when he broke free, I think it was like a 60-yard touchdown, the stadium shook. So there is like a star power element to Travis Hunter that I think he's, you know, if he plays well in the NFL, is going to be like a massive component to him. That weekend, you know, BYU, the big, it felt like they had actually come there to like, you know, play the game. Colorado, there were so many just, I was going to say shenanigans. Is that like, is that nerdy?
No, it's a ton of shenanigans around Deion Sanders.
Enough,
prime
enough
time.
Shenanigans, Deion.
Shedeur Sanders has New York Giants cleats.
Which is crazy. Which, by the way, Giants, way to Jets that up. It, like, absolutely insane. They had Shedeur every, he wanted to go there. He was passing the ball to Malik Nabers in, you know, on 15th Street or whatever. And then, you know, he doesn't have a great game. You know, Travis had a very good game. But anyway, so that's aside from it. There were shenanigans. You know, there was so much that was going on before the game. And then when the game happened, you know, it was just was an under-delivered product. I think that Colorado, you know, the big question with Colorado is Deion actually interested in continuing there? Shiloh is still on, you know, on Colorado. Colorado, Shiloh is very good. I do think that Deion's at least going to see Shiloh through the end of his career. But, you know, I'm watching that game and I'm thinking, if Deion wants to go to the next level, if he wants to go to the NFL, the shenanigans cannot follow him there unless he is willing to go to a team that'll let him take over the complete reins, and that team has to be big enough for him to do that. He will be a Cowboy coach. I guarantee you. That is what I am saying.
And Jerry Jones in the circus.
Jerry Jones on
place.
His deathbed is going to give him, you know, he's going to give him the coaching job. But that was my big takeaway from it, was that Deion will leave college football. Shedeur, him not going to the Giants, I think maybe what's best for the Giants. This year's quarterback class is not great. I think Cam Ward, you know, may surprise a little bit, but it's not a good quarterback class. I think that the Giants did themselves a favor, potentially knocking themselves out of the Shedeur Sanders, you know, competition there.
Yeah, as we're watching Notre Dame go in and score against Drew Aller in Penn State, Drew Aller's name has been a hot topic, and there's nothing I've seen in this game that should make anyone think that this kid wants to leave Happy Valley and go to the NFL.
But they don't need to now. See, this is another thing.
They're millionaires.
Carson Beck made the decision not to go to the NFL because he could get more money.
He's going to go to Miami.
And that is totally crazy to me. You know,
I think his girl is down there anyway. He's just going to go and get $5 million in NIL deals in Miami.
And let me just say this also. Now that we have the playoff, you know, format out there, we are going to see a consistent battle between the NFL and the college football
the
league
portal.
When it comes to, you know, actually getting, you know, when it comes to actually getting players to go up to the NFL. I think they're really going to have to think about if they're able to make $10 million doing one season, you know, as a quarterback for Michigan, you know, why make an entry level contract to go play and then not start for a couple of years
on the bench,
you know, and also
tougher competition.
It's way more fun to be in college than it is to like go to live in Buffalo.
Of course, you're a big man on campus.
Totally.
You're surrounded by girls. That's what I said about Drew Aller. I'm like, he's not even 21 yet. Like, this guy can do whatever he wants in Happy Valley. Of course he's going back. Now, I don't know if they're going to get to the championship here. Notre Dame is fighting back, and I've been saying all week, I'm pulling for Notre Dame. Let's see. We got a good game here. But going back to Deion, you know, there are people that have called the fan about, could Deion potentially coach the Giants? Well, now the Giants keep, you know, Shane and Dable. They're not looking for another coach. I saw Deion talk about a few things, not today, but this week, as he's making his media rounds and trying to pump up his sons. And he refers to his sons as all three of these guys. And I follow him closely, so I know. Shiloh, I don't know if he's got any eligibility left. He's a senior. He started off his college career in South Carolina.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
No, it's all good. That's what I'm
here for. Well, that's the end of Shiloh. That's kind of suck to be Shiloh if you're kind of walking around just like consistently in Shador's
shadow.
He's
a seventh-round pick. You know, I think he's good. They call him the headache man. He's part of the headache gang. I think he's good as far as like he's a hard-hitting safety, but I don't know how he profiles in the draft. I think he'll be an undrafted free agent, or maybe somebody takes him in the sixth or seventh round because of his name. And what Deion is promoting is the only way I'd go to the NFL is if somebody drafts my sons, not just Travis Hunter and Shador, who he considers Travis Hunter a son. He's saying if somebody's able to draft Shador Sanders and then in the later rounds, draft Shiloh. But I don't think anyone's interested in bringing Deion in to coach an NFL team. He has, what, 3 years of experience coaching? Yeah. 4 years of experience coaching in college?
He's a hype guy. I mean, so, like,
He's a media magnet, and not to cut you off, but I had this in my notes, because you went to the Alamo Bowl. Like, they got their ass kicked out there. They were embarrassed out there, and they made such a spectacle, like you said, shenanigans of this is Deion's last time coaching his sons. But he proudly posted this graphic today that said everything is bigger in San Antonio. And it had the attendance at 64,261 people at that game, which is ridiculous, a sellout. 8 million people that watched the Valero Alamo Bowl, which is the highest viewership in their 32-year history. $57+ million economic impact. As you were out there and you talked about all the stuff going on.
Let me just say, there's not much going on in San Antonio. That's what I learned
about
San Antonio.
That's the biggest thing they've had in a while.
Well, not according to Charles Barkley, I think.
I think they had the Alamo.
Well, they're doing March Madness down there.
Yeah, didn't they play basketball out there? And like, I don't know, but.
Well, they're bringing March Madness, back there. But yeah. No, you were saying something about.
Yeah, so Deion. You know, and then the last thing was $9.5 million combined team payout, which is the largest in Valero Alamo Bowl history. Yeah. Deion is proudly flexing that, because something that he can flex, whether you don't think he's a good coach or not, whether you don't take him seriously or not, is like, he's a money machine.
Yeah.
Colorado signed him without the money to pay him, knowing this guy's going to sell tickets, he's going to attract advertisers.
Let me tell you, no one was from Colorado there. Everyone was from Houston. Everyone was just from around Texas to go root, for Deion. So I do think that it was like an ingenious thing that definitely paid off from a Colorado standpoint. I bet they're selling more jerseys, over the past 2 years.
I've been saying it all week about Travis Hunter and Shador. I'm like,
totally.
John Mara cares about Saquon Barkley jerseys and how popular he was.
Yeah.
You draft one of these guys, they're selling that number 2 Shador Sanders jersey or number 12 Travis Hunter jersey instantly.
Here's the thing about Deion, though. He's not going to go to just any team. It's like there's a two-way street here where a team has to be willing to put up with him, because they know that when Deion shows up to coach a team, it's the Deion show. This has not been Colorado Buffalo football. It's been Deion Sanders featuring the Colorado Buffalo that runs out onto the stadium every week. He's got to find a team in the NFL that is willing to give him the reins and let him do whatever he wants. He's got to, continue to do the large commercials with his family. He wants to continue to be, wear the cowboy hat, to come in and have all eyes on him, when he's in with the NFL. And on top, so that's like the biggest thing with him, is that he also has to, want to, go to the place. He's not going to go to Carolina. You know what I mean? Like, not that Carolina's looking, but he's not just going to go to any old team. He's going to want to go to a team that matches how he is viewed. He is not going to take an ego hit here. And it's almost like he's able to do everything in Colorado because they were a defunct program until he got there.
Terrible. But no ticket sales at all.
But if you look at, the fact that they're bowl eligible within 2 years of this is actually insane. But if you look at all of the teams that are bad in the NFL, he's not going to go to any one of them. He's not going to go to the Giants because that is a complete culture difference between the Maras and Deion Sanders. I cannot imagine that is a, do you know what the term shidduch is? Keith, I'm doing this. By the way, shout out to the Jewish hockey, the floor hockey out there. All my floor hockey fans. I don't know if
I'm heavy in the Jewish community from us talking about the Jewish indoor floor hockey league, and then me going up to SAR High School to speak for, you know, just like giving back to the kids. I mentioned you in that, and some of them remembered the night that you were in here talking about that.
Let me just say, I don't know if you heard the big announcement, but the Ramaz Rams are going to be playing the JEC Lightning at the Valero Alamo Bowl. That's right. Check that out, San Antonio. You want to watch hockey, but no ice? Yeshiva League, baby. You know. But yeah, so that's the thing, is that like you have to really be able to, you have to really want to throw your entire team at Dion, and Dion is going to want to have to actually throw his, you know, name and face behind a team. And there's no team in the NFL that is willing to put up with that except for the Cowboys. We are at a point, Mike McCarthy, the fact that he still has a job is insane, especially, we are in an unemployment crisis in America. No one can get a job except Mike McCarthy somehow every year slips by and doesn't get fired.
January 14th, his contract is till January 14th, and Jerry Jones is dragging his feet. But yeah, this brings up a good point, and we'll take calls after this break. Dial 888-808-1019. There were so many fans talking about Deion Sanders and, you know, him being on the sideline if they draft Shador, or him coaching the Giants. No, this guy is a cash cow. He's a multi-million dollar man. He's built something at Colorado where there are kids transferring in there to play for him. He's got two top quarterbacks, the number one quarterback recruit who transferred out of USC to go there, and the quarterback out of Liberty that just transferred from Liberty to there. So he's got two good quarterbacks. I don't think he's going to be there. But Giants fans, I do think at number three, Shador Sanders could fall to you, or you just take the best player available, which would be Travis Hunter. 888-808-1019. I got Eitan Levine, a.k.a. Eitan the goalie, in studio with me. We're talking Giants. We're talking college football, NIL, the BYU Jew, Manischewitz, Mets talk, all that. Keith McPherson on The Fan. Call me up. We'll be right back. A little bit after 10:30 p.m. January 9th on The Fan in New York. Keith McPherson, your nighttime host, rocking till 1 a.m. I've got Eitan Levine, a.k.a. Eitan the goalie. You might know him from TikTok. You might know him from his comedy. I don't know. Maybe they know you from Amazon. I know that Amazon stuff seems so long now. Now that it's 2025.
I think it was 75 years ago that Amazon Sports Network. It was on for 1 year. I looked online to see if it was even on Amazon still, so you can still watch it. But yeah, no. I like to say that I'm very big on 72nd and West End until 96th and Central Park West. Okay. If you are a grandmother, you know who I am, and if you have a son that plays sports, you know who I am.
So he's rocking with me this hour. We're going to start taking calls now. Dial 888-808-1019. We're talking about everything from the New York Giants, who they should draft, Pete Alonso, his future with the Mets, and since Eitan was just at the Alamo Bowl watching Travis Hunter and Shador Sanders play live against the BYU Jew, Jake Retzlaff, and the BYU Cougars, he can speak to that as well. Let's go to Richie in Queens, my guy, back on The Fan.
Hey, Keith, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Hey, Mr. Levine, never had the pleasure.
Nice
welcome. You're working with a good guy. I'm watching this game, Keith. Amazing.
So am I. The turnovers, the back and forth. These guys are looking like amateurs. They're getting paid too much for this.
Yeah, well, that was a good call on the defensive interference. You've got to make a play on the ball, so I have no problems with that. You know, I did getting caught up with these quarterbacks. Look, I've been calling for a couple of years. I know for 2 years with the Giants, and you know I've called you more than once. 55 years, 60-year fan, and I've been saying, I don't know what their direction is. I don't know where they're going. Okay, I really felt that Mara was not going to let these two go. He doesn't want to start again, having four coaches in 5 years and start with a new regime. But the problem comes down. The problem comes down to, like, you know, who are they? What's the plan as far as, you know, it's like you win now, but how are you going to win now at this point if you don't get a quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at their strength of schedule next year and you look at the opponents they're going to face and just, you know, only quarterback that they're going to have on the roster is Tommy DeVito, you got to start there. And the conversation around the quarterback with the Giants for the last few years of Daniel Jones to now is just like, that is the obvious thing. They got to fix that first. Like, I don't know if they're going to be able to win without that. They found some guys like Malik Nabers and Tyrone Tracy and a couple guys on defense, but it's the quarterback, it's the quarterback, it's the quarterback.
Yeah, it's a quarterback league. And you know, and Keith, it comes down to also, you just don't know how much they, you know, that they see talent. I mean, they passed on Bo Nix, they passed on Penix. I'm not saying these guys are going to be good, but, you know, you had a chance, and I know Nabers is a terrific player. But if these quarterbacks turn out to be fairly good quarterbacks, and now you've got a, you know, you've got a crew that you don't know what Sanders is, and Cam Ward, I've watched him. They're talking a law coming out from Penn State. He's not ready. I'm looking. I know Beck was supposed to be a big prospect. He took a step back. Maybe Doc, maybe the kid from Alabama. But the problem is, again, the foundation is, like Mara says, we want to win now. And how are you going to do that? How are you going to get? You're going to get a stopgap guy, and you're going to get a kid that's not ready? So, yeah, I see another 6-7 wins, if that, next year.
Let me just first say.
Do you see anything better?
Yes, let me just first say, on Michael Penix. Michael Penix looked great. I thought he had a pretty good game the last couple of games. I think he only had one start at the end of the season, but he looked pretty good when they played him. So that is going to be a little bit of a thorn in the Giants side, not taking him.
He got to start against the Panthers and against the Commanders.
And he looked good.
Yeah, I agree. And my point is then, is did they not see that? Well, you know, did they see the 1 year with DJ, with Daniel Jones, to say, wow, we're going to give him, you know, a four-year deal for $140 million? So now going ahead, are they going to pick the right talent? So, you know, Dable and Shane have still proven nothing at this point. And you know, you mentioned the defense. Obviously, they got offensive weapons, but their defense, Banks, has taken a step back. Thibodeau has been a total disappointment. You know, and so, again, their linebackers, Okoye and McFadden, are okay. But there's so many question marks with this team.
Yeah,
so,
Penix actually got to start against the Giants, too. He got three starts. And when you talk about Daniel Jones, there's so many people that want to point to John Mara and saying John Mara wanted to keep him after the playoff win. But they just got put in a tough spot. Now there is no tough spot. Right now, now it's the time to, like, pick your actual guy.
Yeah, not firing Joe Shane is insane to me. That's absolutely insane. And that's when, you know, when I think about the stuff to get worried about with the Giants, it's, you know, obviously the fact that Tommy DeVito is going to be the starter next year, the fact that, you know, they are coming off just, like, an atrocious year watching Saquon flourish, you know, in Philadelphia. I just want to say I'm a Jet fan, so I have had my own, more Yiddish for you, Tsuris, just hardships from the past year. It's been a bad, you know, year as a Jet fan. Them, you know, the Giants not getting rid of Joe Shane is an actual problem, because that speaks to the directionless, point that you made. They don't,
And real quick with Alonzo, I understand the legacy point. I understand that. It's just like Barkley, legacy. But they made such a offer to Barkley. I had no issue that he took that kind of money, because no one thought a running back was going to get that kind of money. Alonzo, at this point, if it's going to be where you get a hometown discount and he wants to stay a Met, you know, because he's been a good Met or whatever, but if somebody comes up with a four-year deal for, you know, $32 million a year versus their three-year deal with the Mets, I think the legacy goes out the window and the money comes into play. And I think there's no way, Keith, there's no way that Cohen can lose him. He needs to... They need a backup behind Soto.
Thanks for the call, Richie. Go ahead.
I was gonna, first of all, they can replace him. They can easily replace him on the score sheet. It's the question. You know, it's a really just question of replacing Pete Alonso, the character, versus just Pete Alonso, you know, on the stats sheet. I think that Pete Alonso, if you compare where the Mets are in this deal and where Pete Alonso are in this deal, the Mets clearly have the leverage. I don't think that Steve Cohen needs Pete Alonso, and I do think that David Stearns has been more regimented in some of the signings. Like, he's not going to... The Mets, a couple of years ago, spent $90 million on Scherzer and Verlander. Those are old pitchers, and then that blew up in our face. I think the idea of giving someone in their 30s, 6 years is obviously, it's just not going to happen. And I think that Alonso loses out on the opportunity cost by going to get, you know, $50 million extra somewhere else, $100 million extra, because at a certain point, you don't need the money. There's got to be just something. Pete Alonso is a wholesome guy. Whenever the home run derby happens, he puts his all into it. He becomes like a child in there. I can see years from now, when he's walking into Citi Field, he wants to be the guy that everyone goes up to and shakes their hands. You know, he wants to be a guy that everyone kind of, when he walks into the room, there's a little bit of a murmur. If he leaves Citi Field now and goes to some other team for 2 years and then another team for a year after that, it's just not going to be the same. He's never going to have an opportunity to get what he's going to get from fans if he leaves Citi Field. He's just not going to have it anywhere else.
He's cost himself enough money. He can't cost himself his legacy. Let's go to Weehawken and talk to Neil on the fan. What's up, Neil? You got it.
Hey, guys. Hey, guys. So what on the Pete Alonso thing, my question is really, how does Pete affect the new guys coming up through the system, right? Because he's a homegrown guy. So, look, I'm a Mets fan. I'll be the first to admit I'm not always nice when they're not performing their best, right? That takes a special type of mentality to get through, right? Lindor's got it, but Lindor didn't come up through our system, right? Soto, I think Soto's going to do wonderful things. So I do think he can help with the culture, but how much do you put on what Pete brings to, like I said, the next class of guys when they're in a slump? Does it mean more coming from a guy like Pete who literally has been there than it would maybe a better player like Soto who I don't think everybody, you know, everybody didn't follow his track. What are your thoughts on that value to Pete?
So here's the big thing about Pete Alonso with this is that I think that there is residual. He's a little bit annoyed that the Mets are kind of, you know, are kind of poking and prodding this deal and not just giving to him immediately because the Soto deal did just happen. But the thing about Pete Alonso is that he doesn't have the personality to be the star of the show. Last year, when all those cool things were happening, when OMG was trending, you know, with everything with Lindor, it wasn't, you know, Alonso doesn't have the personality to kind of be like the shiny, cool, hip story in Major League Baseball. There's a thing where when you talk about that he's the homegrown talent, his role on the team should be father. He should be, you know, he should be daddy Alonso. That's what I would call him. He needs to be kind of the father of the team where he takes a step back and he realizes that he is not the star of the show. And I think that that is the thing that's going to lead to him solidifying, you know, finding a place for him, you know, in the Mets locker room. It's going to be him being amicable and being the one that everyone's going to go to where he, you know, off the camera, he's going to the younger guys on the side and helping them with their swing or whatever. But I just think that he needs to take a step back, kind of like 10,000 feet in the air and look at what his actual potential is as a leader on the team. And he has to realize that he's kind of a cornball. You know, he's not going to be he's just a corny dude. And I think that he needs to be the corny dad that we want him to be versus this, like, New York City hotshot. He's not Derek Jeter.
LFGM and humping the rails and...
It's quirky. He's a quirky dude. First of all, you've never had two Mike's Hard Lemonades at a July 4th barbecue and then started going over to the deck or something like that. He is, you know, he's just a quirky guy. And I think that he doesn't embrace it. He wants to be cool. You know, I'm a comic. There's something about comics and athletes. I think that there's a problem now where every athlete thinks that they're a hilarious personable, you know, a hilarious person. And if you don't believe me, go watch that Kelsey show on Saturday night. Jesus Louises, that is one of the most...
I have not watched the second of that.
Let me just say, you're a better person for it. I actually watched it and thought, maybe it is, you know, best if Hollywood as an industry dies, you know. But he wants to be funny, you know, he wants to be more than what he is. Alonso, I think, does want to be more than what he is. He doesn't want to be quirky, goofy dad. He wants to be Derek Jeter hotshot kind of personality, and that's just not him.
Wasn't Derek Jeter's whole, at least to me, I'm not, you know, Keith, I know you're a Yankees fan. To me, Derek Jeter's whole appeal was he did every last thing right. I think it was his 3,000th hit. He sprinted out of the box, right, at 192 years old and broken legs.
Sure.
He still did it, right?
Played the game right. He was a class guy. He was the model citizen, the captain of the Yankees, yes.
Yeah, but, you know, I came up of age professionally at the same time Jeter was kind of coming up professionally in a much different industry. And guys in my field, we always looked at Derek Jeter as what New York is, right? If you want to make it in this town, this is how you do it, right? But I always thought Derek Jeter's aura was bigger than his actual baseball performance, right? Alex sure. Rodriguez was a better player.
You are such a Mets fan, by the way. This is the most Mets comment that you could possibly make. You're going to make the argument right now Jeter is overrated.
No, not overrated. Not overrated.
No, I think Jeter's brand, the way he carried himself on and off the field was of legend. And then there are many people that are like, oh, he didn't field the position that great. He wasn't that great of a... A-Rod was better than him.
Oh, well, okay. I'm not saying that as an insult to Jeter. What I mean when I say that is what made Jeter great is you can count on him day in and day out. Like, there's so many things that don't show up on the stat sheet that Derek Jeter did right day in and day out, and that's why he, again, I'm not trying to be disrespectful to him. I think he exceeded the talent he was born with because of all those things.
He was clutch. Thanks for the call, Neil. 888-808-1019. I mean, tying it back into Pete Alonso, it's about playing for one team. It's about setting an example. It's about legacy. And it's about whether that is something that Pete Alonso values, which is tough right now, right? We are in a time where everybody wants to talk about Juan Soto taking top dollar, but then people want to bring up, hey, Judge wanted to be a Yankee. He left $415 million from the Padres out there. Jalen Brunson wanted to play for the Knicks, took a team-friendly discount. 888-808-1019, will Pete Alonso take a team-friendly discount for his legacy to be a part of the Mets, the Juan Soto, Francisco Lindor Mets with some young talent? Keith McPherson on the Fan with Eitan Levine. We're going to break right now. We'll be back before the 11 o'clock hour. Call us up. BRB. Yeah. The sports are sportsing tonight. The Rangers win in overtime. And this college football game is going overtime, if you ask me. There's about 2.5 minutes left. Notre Dame comes back. Penn State gives up a house call, a great house call. Play on words there. Well, play on the last name. Jaden Greathouse. What a great last name for a wide receiver. 54-yard touchdown pass from Riley Leonard to tie the game up 24-24. We're wrapping up this hour with my guy, Eitan Levine, Eitan the goalie. We're going to take another call. We're going to try some Manischewitz matzah.
Look at that.
And,
have you ever had Manischewitz matzah before?
No. Oh. I have not. So this will be a first, and I'll do it on air.
That's right.
Let's go to Lakewood and talk to my guy, young Alex, on the Fan. What's up, Alex?
Hi, Keith. What's up? So I tuned in, and I was blown away. I heard something I never thought I'd hear in a million years on the radio. Someone speaking Yiddish.
Listen, let me just say, I hope it's a warm night down in Lakewood, okay? You're talking
to me. Yeah, very nice Yiddish.
Yeah, listen, just a shtickle Yiddish, not too much. I went to Yeshiva University. I have a Yeshiva background here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Lakewood, we used to also go to, by the way, if you want, like, the most unhealthy food in America, go to Lakewood Thursday night, 3 a.m. Just go to, one of the strip malls and stuff. They got, like, you ever have Cholent? Cholent is gumbo, but just with more chicken fat in it and stuff.
I've got friends in the area. I'm from Ocean Township, yeah. Monmouth County. I got friends that went to Lakewood High School. We used to play them in football. I know.
Right. Keith, do you think Drew Aller's going to go to the draft?
Nope, not after tonight.
But the reason why I want him is if he goes to the draft, then the Jets get one more talented player, a slot up.
What makes you think that?
No, if he goes to the draft, he'll get drafted top.
Oh, you think because if Aller goes, that's another quarterback drafted in the top 10, and then one of the best available players will fall to the Jets.
Yeah.
I don't trust
the Yankees.
Let me just say on the Jets, by the way, I don't trust them with any more quarterbacks. I don't. The best part about being a Jet fan right now is that in a couple of years, I get to root for my quarterbacks on other teams. I have become a full-on Sam Darnold, truther.
Geno
Smith is the best quarterback I've ever seen in my entire life, Keith. All it took
was
getting
Wilson's
him away from...
Zach Wilson's going to get opportunity somewhere eventually.
Let me tell you, Zach Wilson will be great in 2 years, and he's going to get like half a season, and he's going to turn into Sam Darnold. What is making us think that Zach Wilson does not have an ability to do what Sam Darnold did?
You said tutus. You could add another word, gehaktatutus. It means, like, worse.
You don't think I know what gehaktatutus means? This is what is the life of a Jet fan. I'm a Jet Ranger Nick Met fan. My whole life has been service over here. And by the way, I just want to point out, you know, we're talking about the Giants before with Dion. Giant fans should not want Dion there for one reason. I am a Jet fan, okay? And he is Aaron Rodgers again. If there is one thing that has ruined my life, every Sunday I wake up and I say, time for prison. Let's go watch the Jets. Let's have Aaron Rodgers hurt my feelings. It's terrible. And why? Not just because he's bad on the field. He's bad on the field. He's whatever. He's just bad on the field. It's everything that he brings with him.
Did you hear what Evan said?
What did Evan say?
That Aaron Rodgers should go to the Giants.
He should. You know what? And that's not a bad idea. One, if I'm the Giants, Aaron Rodgers is going to leave this season with a chip on his shoulders. God forbid that guy goes on a darkness retreat and decides to go and call up the Maras. Because I do think that there is a chance that he goes to the Giants and does have, you know, they ring him for all of the juice that is kind of like left in him. And the thing is, that's not going to happen on the Jets. There's too much baggage. There's too much resentment between him and the fans. He needs to kind of, if he is going somewhere, he needs to clean slate it. And the weirdest thing is that the Giants make complete sense. There's not going to be a quarterback that's going to change that franchise next year. Why not just give him a one-year contract to bridge him into, you know, to when there is a quarterback available?
Maskim, Zygazint.
Oh!
Alex, what you got on the Yankees before we let you go?
On the Yankees, what do you think their pivot is for third base?
I think they're trying to find one. Earlier in the show, I said a report came out from John Heyman that they're looking at Paul DeJong. And I'm like,
Andy Martino said that they're not looking for Luis Arraez.
Yeah, now Arraez they're out on. Nolan Arenado they've been out on. I don't know. They got to figure it out. And I think first they got to figure out where Marcus Stroman is going to go, and then that'll give them a little bit more flexibility. If Roky Sasaki somehow wants to be a Yankee, that will make one of our starting pitchers expendable. So
he's not going to be a Yankee.
I don't really think so either.
He's not going to be a Dodger. I think that the Mets have a really good chance.
Yet.
Yeah, I think that there's a very good chance that he's going to go over to the Mets over the Dodgers. I think that if let me tell you right now,
Padres.
He's going to go to the Dodgers, and he's going to be in Ohtani's shadow for the rest of his career.
He wanted a small market West Coast team. What do you think? Maybe he'll go to the Giants.
No, the Padres, a small market West Coast team.
But they have this whole thing going on with ownership.
But they also spend. They're willing to spend.
If they can still get the money right, I think he'd be down for it. Alex, you're the man. Thanks for the call, bro. 888-808-1019. Okay, I'm going to try one of these Manischewitz.
Ooh, matzah.
Never had one.
This is a holy bread that you eat on Passover. It is very, very dry. I would say it's probably the worst thing to eat while you're on air. It's kind of toasty, right?
Very toasty, but good.
You eat that on Passover.
What do you put on this, hummus?
You put ketchup. You put the cream cheese on it, a little tuna.
I don't want ketchup.
Let me tell you right now, you ready for this? A little cream cheese, a little capers, a little lox, and some onion. You're in a whole other sphere. The issue is that every year on Passover, we can only eat that for eight days. And let me tell you that later on, you're going to go to the bathroom and you're going to have to push a little harder. That thing is essentially cement that you are putting down your gullet right now. But yeah, welcome to the tribe, Keith. I know that you're big with the Yeshiva Day School crowd now. So now, not just faking it. How was it?
It was pretty good.
Yeah,
I dropped it because I didn't expect it to crack like that.
Yeah, it's real crumbly. It's real. It's essentially.
But it's tasty. It's good.
Yeah, the story of it is that we were leaving Egypt and there was not enough time to like fully cook the bread, so we just threw it in our back and then it turned into matzah because the yeast wasn't allowed to rise. So now, in honor of that, every year our families have to get together and have a 5.5-hour meal.
It's just a huge cracker. It's just like a 8x6 cracker.
I call it, listen, it's just like a nacho minus the cheese and the beans and the sauce and the salsa. That's not even, you know what pacha is? You ever hear of pacha? God, pacha is, and I'm sure what's his name? Alex Young from Lakewood, he's going to know. Pacha is congealed savory jello made from calf ankles. And then you put little, spices and garlic in there. So the Jews have some pretty, disgusting food. That's one of our better foods there. You ever get gefilte fish?
L'chaim. Thanks for coming through tonight. Appreciate you, bro. Thanks for dropping us off some Manischewitz and talking some sports with us.
Thanks for having me. It's a lot of fun.
All right, call the fan. I'll be right back.